Testing 1, 2, 3. Now, don't touch it.
I didn't touch it, Bob. Can you hear me? Don't touch the table. I'd like to welcome each and every one of you to the dedication ceremonies. And I thank all of you for being able to come and attend the ceremonies. We are a little late, so we will get started. But there are a few people that I would like to recognize before I introduce our welcome speaker. I would like to introduce Sam Kido, who is a Board of Regents member. Sam, how about standing up? I saw you. There you are. Sam, thank you. I'd also like to introduce a good friend whom I met at the Potomac in Washington, D.C. for the first time, and he's beginning to smile because he knows I'm going to introduce him. Tom Richards, it's good to see you here. How about standing up, one of the judges? Another person I would like to introduce right now, and I don't know where he's hiding, is Roger Land, AFN past, AFN president. Roger, where are you? There he is. Thank you, Roger. I would like to introduce Dr. Robert Hyatt, president of the university, to give you the welcome. Dr. Hyatt.
Thank you, Elaine. This is a very pleasant opportunity, of course, to be able to welcome you all, not only to this beautiful new Heritage Park and Lamp, but also onto this beautiful Fairbanks summery day, under this sunshine. This park and this lamp was made possible by the inspiration and really the perseverance of one person, Emily Ivanoff Brown, sitting right behind me, and I'm sure most of you know her. Either on the first or second day of my coming to this campus, in my office, Emily, some of our staff, some of her friends, came into my office to show me what they had in mind for the Heritage Park, which would feature the Eskimo lamp. I remember all of us being down on the floor in my office on our knees, poring over all of these plans, that sort of thing. And at that time, it looked like a great idea, and I gave it my blessing. And no one is more surprised than I to see it here today. It takes real perseverance to get something like this done. Emily Brown, of course, is one of our perpetual students. And I say that in the best sense of the word because Emily has a natural curiosity about the origins of her people, about their cultural background and the origin of their cultural traits, none of which were documented by a written language or in any sense of the word, found anywhere except by word of mouth of the older to the newer generations. Consequently, in order to try to understand better the culture from which she came, she has made a non-ending study of her people, not only those of the Bering Sea coast, but also those of the Arctic Sea coast. She has studied anthropology here, history of the North, geology, native languages, all background information for her so that she could, by interviewing the older citizens of her native village area, to discover, if she could, what their cultural background really was, where it came from, so that she might begin to document this in a way in which her successors, all the rest of not only the native peoples, but other peoples of Alaska and the world, might learn something about the culture of the Bering and Arctic Ocean peoples. All of you are familiar with her master's thesis, which has been published now in the third edition, at least in the third printing, called Grandfather of Unalakleet. This was the culmination of her more formal period of education here on this campus, and it is one of the finest volumes depicting the ancient glories of the people from which she stems. During her life, of course, she became aware that the Eskimo lamp not only was an object of great utility in the Igbo, but also had great symbolism for her people. Symbolism, in fact, a fundamental basis for existence, both in life and in death. For example, I am told that Native women were judged on how well they kept the lamp wick trim. And those women that let the lamp wick get dirty and smoke up the igloo usually had a more difficult time enticing one of the young men of the village into matrimony. Those that kept the lamp best were those that fared the best when it came to seeking a mate. Also had very many other connotations, which Emily can tell you about. Emily decided that the lamp was so symbolic of her culture that she decided that she would reproduce some of them so that other people would learn about the lamp. And so she began to learn ceramics from Stan Zielinski on this campus, where she began to make these lamps, which she distributed to many people. I think even sold a few, Emily, to the point where it got to be such a commercial operation for her, she no longer could take care of it, and she farmed out the manufacture of these lamps to others. And I hope, Emily, that the royalties do bring you a little, although I'm sure it's not very much. But with each lamp, of course, went a little statement of its significance in the culture of her peoples. Now, the lamp, of course, is symbolic of many things. Everlasting light, for example, consuming the darkness. The Olympic Games, of course, are started by the lighting of a lamp, as you all well know. This, of course, is supposed to erase nationalistic hostilities, but the lamp has been glowing less brightly in the last few years in that regard than it did formerly. The lamp over John F. Kennedy's grave, to keep alive the spiritualistic lift that he gave this country when it needed it the most. The lamp on the unknown soldier's grave at the Arc de Triomphe in Paris is supposed to depict the futility of armed conflict. All of these are symbolic of major basic concerns of the human race. In the Caucasian culture, the lamp symbolizes education and knowledge, and certainly awareness, all matters which consume ignorance. And on many educational books, the lamp is imprinted in one way or another. I just brought along a couple, Leaves of Grass by Walt Whitman. Here's the runner, such as the Olympic runner, carrying the torch to light a lamp. And on this document, that would be an academic development plan for a university. Here is the lamp symbolized for education. So the lamp, in this particular instance, then, is something that would consume ignorance. In the Eskimo culture, of course, it lights the darkness of the Arctic winter, and, of course, the windowless igloo. And this is a concept which is captured very magnificently by the poem in the overleaf of your brochure by Emily herself. Now, the Heritage Park itself also has symbolism. To me, at least, it brings the native peoples of the North to the principal place of higher learning in Alaska. In other words, here they are, symbolized by this Heritage Park. It also stresses the oneness of all people for the social institution, or in the social institution, where knowledge dispels ignorance. And even the propane gas, which furnishes the energy for this lamp, represents an Alaskan product from our own natural resources, and thus symbolically fuses much of Alaska's cultural heritage with the bountiful physical resources of this state. Consequently, you must be aware of my appreciation for this fine park, for the symbolism that's represented in it, and the lamp. And to Emily, of course, we are most thankful for your presence among us and for this extraordinary expression of the Native people of Alaska. I wish also to thank all others, and there were many others, whose work has brought this park true to fruition as you see it today. Thank you all very much for coming. You'll learn a great deal more about this from the succeeding speakers. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Hyatt. It's a privilege to be a part of the unveiling ceremony of the Indian Eskimo lamp. We've got people that are representative of the Alaska Natives throughout Alaska. Our Olympics runner will light the lamp, and he will light the lamp. And William Hensley will unveil the lamp, and he will give the dedication speech for the Indian Eskimo lamp. Our Olympic runner is Reggie Jewell. He holds the championship for the high kick. Many of you have seen him perform throughout the years. Before I introduce Mr. Hensley, I would like to introduce people who have been involved with the Heritage Park along with Emily, and I would really like to thank them. Vera Canichero is back there with her baby. Vera has been instrumental. She's been helping. I'd also like to introduce our ushers, Elmer back there, and Mr. Sik-Sik back here from St. Lawrence Island, and my daughter, Judith Dorothy Ruth, over here. They have been coordinating and helping set up for the ceremonies today. It is a real privilege to introduce Mr. William Hensley, who is the president of the NANA Environmental System. He is the past president of the Alaska Federation of Natives. He is an Eskimo from Kotzebue, just as our Olympic runner, Reggie Jewell, is also an Eskimo from Kotzebue. And Mrs. Jewell is also here, who has been helping out as an usher. Where are you, Mrs. Jewell? She's right there. Thank you. And I will turn it over to Mr. Willie Hensley.
Thank you very much. Can you hear me? Maybe I don't have to use it. Can you hear me anyway? I'm very happy to be back on campus again. I used to live right here in 206, in McIntosh Hall a few years back in the early 60s. And it's always a pleasure to come back to the University of Alaska. And to Dr. Hyatt and Dr. Cutler, Vice President Ramos, Mrs. Brown, and members of the Board of Regents, Sam Keto, and ladies and gentlemen, and those of you who are to participate in the Eskimo Olympics, I'm very pleased to be here to dedicate this lamp. I don't know how many years ago it was that I first heard Emily Brown mention the idea of having a symbol on the campus of the University of Alaska that would symbolize the Eskimo people. And I think the lamp is a very fitting symbol, because I don't know how many of you have lived in the Arctic and have had to contend with the long Arctic nights, the dark nights that seem to go on and on. And I can recall in the early days, and that's not very long ago, 25 or 30 years ago, when we did in fact have to use seal oil. When we ran out of gasoline and you're 25 miles from the nearest store, you had to use something. And let me tell you, it was very nice to be able to utilize seal oil to provide light. And in the earlier days, to use as a cooking fuel. And I can recall the days when, even in a town the size of Kotzebue, we had no power to provide the light and heat in the community. And there are still many, many communities that don't have anything other than gasoline lamps for power and for light. And I think this lamp will serve as a symbol of the struggles that the Eskimo people have had in conquering the Arctic. And they did it with just their ingenuity, a spear, and a bow and arrow, and a lot of courage. And we see nowadays other people having to spend literally billions in order to survive in the Arctic. And I think that this lamp will serve as a symbol of those who came and conquered the Arctic, and as a symbol to those that are coming to the university, that the native heritage in Alaska is alive and is flourishing and will continue to be a part of Alaska. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Reggie. At this time, I would like to introduce Daphne Gustafson. Daphne Gustafson will give you the history of the lamp. Daphne is from Kotzebue, and Daphne, it's all yours.
Thank you, Elaine. The Eskimo lamp. The Great Lamp. Throughout the history of the northern people of the Arctic, the lamp has been the central focus of domestic life. The women have been the lamp tenders, the lamp keepers, the lamp owners. Watch tonight as this scene is recreated at the Eskimo Indian Olympics at the Paddy Gym. An Eskimo woman will be seen tending the sea laurel lamp, and an Athabascan Indian woman will be seen tending the moose tallow lamp. It is only appropriate, therefore, that the idea for this lamp, the great lamp, was originated by a Kuerok Inupiat blend Eskimo lady, Tikasuk, Emily Brown. In 1967, a group of Alaska Native students who were graduates of the University of Alaska in the field of education organized what is now the Alaska Heritage Writers Association. Membership of about 30 are scattered throughout the state, and a very few members of the organization are here for this great occasion. To give you an idea of our membership, let me name the first directors and officers of the Alaska Heritage Writers Association. The first president was Peter Three Stars, who is presently the BIA agency superintendent in Bethel. The vice president was Dr. Walter Sobolev, who is a retired University of Alaska professor of Native Studies, and he currently lives in Tenneke Springs in southeastern Alaska. The secretary was Charlene Kumahuk from White Mountain, and the treasurer, the first treasurer, was Emily Brown, who is here with us today. Bob Egan, in the Career Planning and Placement Office on campus, was selected to be our first counselor. During that first year, 1967, the Constitution, bylaws, and the goals of the organization were established, which set the direction for the membership. The overriding goal of the Alaska Heritage Writers Association was to preserve the Alaska Native cultures indigenous to our statewide membership. Dual objectives were set to reach that goal. The first goal was to record and document the history of every Alaska Native village in the state of Alaska. Each member has been assigned to write his or her village history. The first book has been completed, Grandfather of Unalakleet, written by Emily Brown. The Grandfather of Unalakleet was published in 1974 and is now being considered for its third printing. We hope that each one of our books will be as successful. The second objective of the organization was to place the Great Lamp, an Eskimo lamp, in its original form on the University of Alaska campus. Today, this objective is met. The dream of 10 years, Alaska Heritage Writers Association, is a reality. The 10 years of the history of our organization leading to today's dedication, to tell simply, began with a fund drive of all Chamber of Commerce organizations throughout the United States, Native corporations, other private businesses, and individuals throughout Alaska. The fund drive was successful in that $2,488 were raised, with the largest donation coming from Calista Corporation in Bethel. Every dollar was utilized preparing for this day, the dedication of the Great Lamp. Money, however, was only a portion of our receipts. In addition, the rock was provided by the Army. Emily Brown designed the lamp in the typical shape of the Inupiat lamp. Stan Zielinski, a professor in the art department, created the mold. To these people, and to many other people within the university system, Alaska Heritage Writers Association offers our gratitude. Certain individuals within the university network receive a special thanks for bringing the idea into reality. Dr. Hyatt, the president of the university, Elaine Ramis, Vice President for Rural Educational Affairs, Dr. Cutler, the Chancellor of the Fairbanks campus, Dr. Hilliard, Dr. Moyer, and Larry Hoppel. The person to whom we are most indebted is Emily Brown. The beauty and light of the symbolic lamp will have a special meaning to all of us, but the great lamp will also remind us of the spirit and the determination of the fine Alaskan lady, Emily Brown, who has turned her dream, an Alaska Heritage Writers Association dream, into reality. The lamp, which is located here at the gateway of one of the finest universities in the United States, will serve to remind us that while the lamp was the focus of Eskimo domestic life in the past, higher education has become a focus of our people and of all Alaskan people.
Thank you very much, Daphne. I would like to introduce Emily Ivanov Brown, who will give us a special presentation. It's a real privilege for me to introduce Emily, who does not really need an introduction. I first met Emily as a student at Sheldon Jackson College several years ago. Not only was she a student, but she was also a patient of mine. It has been a real pleasure to know Emily throughout these years. She is a symbol of the lamp because she has brought more wisdom to her people, and she has been an inspiration to her people, and she certainly has been an inspiration to me. Emily? I was born comedian. I'm going to sing a funny song. I hope you enjoy it. And thank you for coming. I want to thank Dr. Hyatt for giving us permission to build this beautiful park. And I want to thank you. Now I have to feel funny before I sing a funny song. My song will be Eskimo Good Man. And it was requested by Mrs. Ramos for me to sing a song for you. I hope, can you hear me? Okay. Eskimo Good Man. No like him fight, making plenty muck luck, sell him to the white. Steal oil and tom cod, catch him in a hole. Ah, good cow, cow for the Eskimo. Thank you, but here's a response. White man, good chief, he showed us how to live, making plenty papers, books and pencil too. Canned foods and clothing, hard shoes to wear. White man, good chief, he showed us how to live. Kuba Club song.
It will take too long to tell you the history of it. But this is originated in Kobuk area when the Indians first moved to Kobuk Valley. And so that's the history of it. I'll sing it in Eskimo first. How many Eskimos are attending? Good.
One back here.
Oh, two. Atarok dunga. Atarok dunga. Akutom. Akutom. Sivulin randun. Nalok dipit nga. Hayyange. Hayyange. Kukduwaka. Kukduwaka. Nabik diglu. Nalok dipit nga. Hayyange. Aye, may I be your company as you gently drift along? May I sit happily in your kayak as you paddle expertly. Hi-yi-yang-e. Hi-yi-yang-e. It doesn't matter. Excuse me. It doesn't matter whether I break my bones. Throw me into your kayak. Aye, young eh. Aye, young eh. That's a Kobuk love song. Thank you. Thank you very much, Emily. Emily was born in Unalakleet. She's of Eskimo and Russian descent. And we certainly appreciate all of the dedication that Emily has given to the Heritage Park. I would like to thank each and every one of you for attending the Heritage Park and Eskimo Indian Lamp Ceremonies. I appreciate the time you have sat there in the warm sun. And I would like to now introduce Dr. Howard Cutler, who will give the closing remarks. Howard Cutler is the chancellor of the university campus here in Fairbanks. And before I introduce Howard Cutler, I would also like to thank Mr. Hensley for taking the time to give the dedication speech for our Eskimo Indian Lamp. Willie, we appreciate you very much, and we thank you for the time. And now, Howard Cutler.
When we were in the program committee, Emily said, "We're going to have a lot of high muckamucks on the program. We need a low muckamuck. Dr. Cutler, will you say a few words?" So here I am. And it is my privilege to represent the Fairbanks campus at this dedication and receive it in behalf of the campus. It is the function of a university to help each of us define our heritage, examine our heritage, renew our heritage. And we have a special privilege here at the university over other universities in the world because of the rich heritages that we have with us, among us, and reviving us every day. Here we are dedicating the Heritage Park and the lamp on the site of the famous college archaeological dig, which connected the hypothesis of the land bridge between two cultures of the Eastern world and the West. Here we are at the university that has done so much to revive the Alaska Native Languages through its Alaska Native Language Center. Here we are at the university where over 200 students have come year after year. One out of every 12 is an Alaska Native student to be with us. We have distinguished graduates. Over 40 years ago, here at the Fairbanks campus, Flora Harper and Tim Twitchell, both of Fairbanks, graduated on this campus. We have 9 students who received advanced degrees, master's degrees at the university, all of whom you know because each has distinguished him or herself in their work civically and professionally. Paul Goodwin, Emily Brown, Oster Kawagli, Bill Demert, Archie Demert, Robert Perotrovich, Frank Barry, Hannah Kangas, Jerry Ivy, all of them recipients of the master's degree here at this institution. The university is also recognized and honored in its appreciation for the cultural heritage and gifts of their talents of 3 distinguished people with honorary degrees in 1970 with a Doctor of Humanities, Archie Demert, in 1974, Howard Rock as Doctor of Humane Letters, and in 1975, Frank Degnan, Doctor of Public Services. This is indeed a rich heritage for us, the faculty and students who have lived side by side and shared and revived in each of us a redefinition of ourself and our own culture. This park, this lamp, is a rededication of this honor and this responsibility that we at the Fairbanks campus are proud to receive and accept. On behalf of the program committee, it is my pleasure now to invite you to attend a reception in the upper commons, in the upper floor, before you attend, we hope, the opening of our great Alaska Native Olympics. Thank you.